We continue with our series based on experiencing God. And we have learned how many realities? Seven realities. The first reality is that God is at work at all time. He's working all the time. The second reality is that he pursues a personal and intimate relationship with everyone, every person. The third one is that at some point in our lives, he will invite you, he will invite us to join in what he is doing. In order to do that, the fourth reality says that he will speak to us through a sermon, through the Bible, through circumstances, through the church. And when he speaks, we have a crisis. A crisis of belief. Is that is real? Maybe you don't know God. This is new to you. And I say, is this real? Or maybe you are walking with God for years and then you are facing a crisis. And this is the fifth reality. Reality number five. Shall we read together? This is reality number five. God's invitation. It will happen to you. It will happen to me. It will happen to all of us because it's part of the journey. And then sometimes maybe you are okay and you come to church and you have been doing the things that you usually do. And suddenly we have a crisis. Everything is upside down. And then we find ourselves unable to move forward. And we all find those times in our lives that we are facing these challenges that require faith to move forward. Now, how do you handle those crises? So today, I'm going to have an example, and the example is from the disciples. I'm not using a personal example. We are going to see the disciples, something that happened to them in the book of Mark, chapter 4. Now, before we read the passage, let me give you the context. The disciples, is like they are experiencing God. The first reality is in chapter 1. They have seen God working. And then chapter 2, Jesus invited them to join. Chapter 3, they are there with Jesus. And suddenly, chapter 4, a crisis of belief. So if you have your Bibles, turn to with me to Mark chapter 4 in the New Testament, verses 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And the Bible says that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." So the disciples have been walking with Jesus and then have been receiving the teaching, and suddenly Jesus says to these guys from Israel that never go to the other side because that's a pagan side, that's a heathen side. Let's go. So they go with Jesus. And now, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, Rabbi, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this?" Even the wind and waves obey him. Do you still have no faith? A crisis of belief. Our text this morning is from the book of Hebrews. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. This is our text this morning. Shall we read together our text this morning? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to understand a little bit more about you, about faith. As we read your word, as we spend this time together, may your blessing be upon us so we will be able to understand a little bit more. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Crisis of belief. Faith is repeatedly described in the Bible as the key to finding Christ in a living, personal way. Here we are going to learn about the biblical definition of faith, how it is expressed. This verse tells us that faith is essential. Faith is vital. Why faith is vital? Because it is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. What is the meaning of being acceptable to God? You cannot be agreeable to God. I cannot be agreeable to God. I cannot please God without faith. Now, faith, if we go to the dictionary, faith, the definition is persuasion, being persuaded, being fully persuaded, convinced. That's the meaning of faith in the dictionary. So without being convinced, we cannot please God. If we are we have doubts in our lives, we cannot please God. Now, our desire should be to be accepted by God. In the eyes of God, we are sinners. We have committed many kinds of sins. We know that He is holy. I cannot be accepted by Him by my own effort. How can we be accepted? We know it is by Jesus Christ. But I need faith. I must be persuaded. I must be convinced. God changes. But it's essential that we need to have faith. On the other hand, unbelief, this is the other side of the table. Unbelief says, well, there is no God. That is children's tale. That is not real. It denies that we are special beings. We are different to animals. We have been made in the image of God. Now, faith alone, as the Word of God informs, is the only way we can have access to Him. But unbelief says, no, we are animals. We are here by chance. And this is nonsense, says unbelief. You talk about the Bible. We don't need this. We are going to use our rational minds. We are going to investigate. We are going to find out. Unbelief says, there are many ways to be happy. Faith doesn't do anything. Faith has no value in itself. Faith needs no strength. You can be weak and yet you can have faith. You can be poor and yet you can have faith. Faith needs no human merits. It's not something you have to do. No, faith needs no brains. Even the most intelligent person in the world, he or she needs faith to have access to God. You can be the most simple person in the world like me. And yet we need faith. Faith doesn't change you. Faith doesn't give you eternal life. Faith doesn't change your family, your character, yourself. God does. But we need faith. Now, if we have faith, okay, so I have faith. Is everything going to be all right? The first thing, as we are going to see the story of the disciples, is that just because Jesus is on the boat doesn't mean that we are going to have an easy ride. We are going to face crisis, and we need faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And let's start to see this verse from Hebrews. This says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, I choose the King James Version is because here the singular told us that it's not about my family. It's not because my parents have faith, my grandparents. I was born in a Christian country. I have faith. It's personal. I have to have faith. You need to have faith. I need to have faith. Faith brings us to recognize that there is not only about money. There is not only about success. There is not only about achievement. I need forgiveness. And it's personal. And the Bible says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is God. Is a rewarder. What is the meaning of that word rewarder? Well, one of the meaning is that he is a wage payer. He's the one who do what he says. This is the meaning here. Here, it means that to point out that God is reliable. You can rely on God, not on your faith, but on God. Faith is just the hand taking you to see God. And how God responds us when we acknowledge our sins, when we pray, Father, forgive me. I believe in Jesus Christ. I have been a fool in all my selfish imagination. Lord, forgive me. Make me a new person. God is a rewarder. He says, I have done terrible things. What is the guarantee that he will hear me, that he will change me, he will change my family, he will change my character? He is a rewarder. He is a wage payer. He will do it for you. If God made a promise to you to give you salvation, he will do it. If he made a promise to sustain you in your life, he will do it. This verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, is a warrant for faith. How do I know? Well, the verse says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How do you have that sense when you lose your wallet? What is it that you are going to do? You are going to find it. Hopefully. But that's the picture, diligently. If you lose your car keys and, most of the time happened to me. Where are they? That is the picture. Now, the picture here in this verse, it says that you will seek the Lord because you need him. You will seek your wallet because you need your wallet. You will seek the car keys. It is more important. God is more important than your friends. It may be ambitions in your life that conflict with your new life. I want this. I want to do that. I'm planning this. But the faith that God rewards says, not those ambitions. Those ambitions will not take priority in my life because the most important for me is him. And your nature change. I don't care what my friend says. I am going to be diligent. I'm going to be active. I'm going to find more. I'm going to try to understand. There will be things I don't understand. I was saying to the children, you take the CD now. It's only the MP3 now. And what else? Many different things we use now for music. And it's there. Before it was that long LP. You remember? 78. And now we have these little devices that hold a lot. I don't understand. I love music. Use it. Sometimes you don't understand. But you are diligently. You want more. You want more of God. This is the picture. He says, above anything else in my relationship with God, I come to know Christ and I'm going into eternity. So I am living my life in the context of eternity. For me, this is important. This is the diligently person. He's searching. She's searching. God will reward you. God will reward you. But sometimes we face a crisis. Let's see the disciples. What happened to the disciples? Let's go back to Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read the verses 37. Say, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciple walking and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Now, can you picture the disciples? You know, oh, Jesus is good. He's great. Have you seen the miracles? You know, I'm with him. And now you are on the boat and, oh my God, we are going to see these pagans. We are going to see these people and they are traveling. The storm. Jesus is sleeping on a cushion? Come on, Jesus, we are drowning. Wait, we are in trouble. This is not the question that we ask. You are praying for your mom, for your dad. You are praying for an issue in your life. And you ask, where is God? Is he sleeping? Does he care? Where is he? The picture here, the same word, if you carry on reading, the word used to demonstrate that the disciples were afraid is the same word used when the disciples saw Jesus walking on water. It's the same word used when they experienced Jesus' resurrection. They were terrified. Fear. How many of you are terrified when you are facing a crisis? You say, what am I going to do? The disciples say, you don't care. Maybe you are experiencing a problem in your marriage, in your work, with your health, and you think, where is God? Is he on holidays? Because you send, you send an email and they say, oh, I come back after 3 weeks. And, you know, it's a horrible feeling. Sometimes I don't do that. Because it's just the same. You know, you are saying that prayer to God and it seems to be, you know, we have doubts, you know. I have to grow my faith to overcome this crisis. The disciples were on that journey. And then when you go to John chapter 20, and then you see the experience, the resurrection. It's only after that they got it. Now, we have doubts and suddenly we are overwhelmed with fears. Will they consume me? No. If I have faith, no. Perhaps I start analyzing. I say, well, perhaps I have not been fully committed. But no, sometimes you blame God. And they said, well, you give excuses. They said, well, you know what? I like the Bible. But please don't talk about those verses. You better put it on one side. Those are not relevant today. Let me tell you something. You will fear. Because our world will collapse. And we made excuses. You know, in Ecuador, I have friends who were passionate about preaching. And there was a particular two young lads. One was that they were into crime. You know, they were stealing and, all that. And then one of them always made excuses. And we have to go and visit him in jail. They have to steal because I can. On the other hand, there was another young lad who, when he surrendered his life to Jesus, I don't know what is going to happen. The Lord is going to transform me. He's a wonderful life. He's giving. He has a company now, employing many people, serving the church. You see the difference? We made excuses. No faith. No faith. Now, here he says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He has rewarded this young lad. And the other young lad, I think now they are not young, you know, some more than 20 years ago. He died in his way of living. He is a rewarder of those who humble themselves and ask forgiveness and desire a new life. What is it that we need to do in the middle of that crisis? We need to act in the middle of the crisis. Can we say it together? We need. Now, this is a very awkward moment here. Let's read what happened to the disciples in Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 39 and 40. Jesus got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why are you so afraid, my brother? Why am I so afraid when I face my crisis? Why is it? We do not have faith. Now, faith engages every department of your personality. This is an old way of seeing it. I am not a psychologist, I am not a doctor, but I love this concept. Years ago, I learned that faith, you know, your personality, my being, is made up of three departments. Three departments are there to say, this is Freddy. Mind, your reasoning faculty, your heart, your affections, and your will, your determining faculty. Those three make you. Faith has to engage the three departments of our lives. Now, if you have faith, it occupies every single department of your being. Mind, you know, you hear the word of God, you hear a sermon, you hear a teacher, you read the Bible, you know that he's your creator, he's eternal, he's holy, he's kindness. If we trust, if we accept him, you understand this with your mind. And you say, I want to follow. Now I understand. I understand now the Bible teach. Now it reveals your mind help you to understand. But now with your heart is your affections. And you see this wonderful hymn, so you hear about how he suffered on that cross for you. And you say, I want him. And you embrace it. And I'm gonna rest until you feel it. And with your will, you say, I will go to him no matter what. My wife is not happy. My husband is not happy. My children are not happy. My fellow workers are not happy. My fellow students, I don't care. I go. Like the prodigal son. That is faith. The three engaging together. My friends, to be accepted by God, we need to come to him by faith, not by works. If you come by words, you are wasting your time. That's what the Bible says. All religions other than the Christian faith believe in words of some kind. Even so-called branches of the Christian faith believe in works. You need to do that. If you don't do that, your soul will be here. You cannot jump from there to there. You need to... Don't. That's not what the Bible says. Faith. Faith. It is by grace that we are saved. And Jesus told why. Jesus said, well, we keep on doing things even when our conscience tells us it's not right to do it. But only the words of Christ has explained that our reconciliation with God, because our biggest problem is sin, is only through him. I am the way. I am the truth. Are you searching it? I am. Faith, come to me, receive it. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, what was the expectations of Jesus in the middle of the crisis? Let's go back to the boat. What was Jesus' expectation? The expectation is their trust. Okay, they're traveling. Get a bucket. Throw the water out. Let's carry on. Handle it. That's what Jesus was expecting. We need to carry on. They start blaming God. They start blaming Jesus. That is what Jesus expected from his disciples. Their trust. Keep moving forward. Hold on to it. Actions are confirmation of our faith. A simple action. You know, I say, get a bucket. Try to stabilize the boat. What about us? Jesus wants all our trust so he can give us a new life. Jesus wants all our trust. Mind, heart, will. So he can give us a new life. But you know, on the other hand, unbelief, skeptical, you know what they says? When crisis comes and problems, you need to be anxious. You know, prayer will do nothing. God is saying that you are wasting your time in churches. And as the disciples, sometimes we are terrified and we forget his promises. Listen to this wonderful. Are you struggling this week? Or have you have been struggling for months? Listen to these wonderful promises. In Philippians chapter 4. You have a crisis? Rejoice. I will say it again. Rejoice. The Lord is near. What a wonderful promise. Yeah, okay. They were on the boat. There's a boat. Sink. Rejoice. Come on. Do something about it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He will hear you. Do you believe that? He will hear you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. Why? Because you are doing it. In whom? In Christ Jesus. Here is not saying he will guard your minds because you are Methodist, because you are Catholic, because you are Baptist, because you are whatever. Christ Jesus. He wants our trust, my friends. We need to trust God's invitations while working towards the destination he has called us to. What is God inviting you to do? To believe? Maybe you don't know anything about God. He wants you to surrender your life to him. My heart and will. What is God asking you? To go and talk to your friend in college, in university? Talk to her. Talk to him. To your parents. To your children. To your grandchildren. Oh, you don't want to encourage your grandchildren to come to church because maybe your daughter-in-law, your son-in-law don't want you to do it. What God is inviting you. We are all going to face a crisis. And how you are going to handle it will determine whether you are stuck in religion, or maybe you are stuck in unbelief, or you have a personal relationship with him. I conclude saying this is the promise that he will hear you, he will be next to you, he will change you. Can you imagine? Some people say, oh, I receive a letter from the queen to go to the palace. Wonderful. This is an invitation to go to the eternal palace. Are you going to embrace it with your mind, with your heart, and your will? Or you are going to do it just not sure about it? I'm telling you, well, if I receive a letter from the queen, I go. But the food will be good, I think so, you know, whatever. He will keep you his promise. Because you believe in him and you repented your sins, our true faith is told by our obedience. If you love me, you keep my commandments, said Jesus. If I can obey God, even when I'm not sure, you not obey him. Carry on. Even when you are scared, carry on. Even when I am not sure that I am capable, carry on. I know that my faith is not merely found in my words, in my mind, but it's secure in my heart and in my actions. I pray that may you have faith. Whatever your circumstances, you will have faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the example of the disciples that they, even they experienced you, they saw you, they touched you, they spent time with you, they didn't have faith. But Father, thank you for your mercy and thank you for that wonderful promise that you want us to spend eternity with us. I pray for that person this morning, that he or she will have faith and with his or her mind, her heart, and will respond to you. Oh, Father, help us to trust you so you can change our lives, change our families, change our society, change this country. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.